All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us all have the intention of i'tikaf in the mosque as long as we are in it, to get the rewards of i'tikaf as well. I'tikaf is staying in the mosque. After you pray, if you stay in the mosque, if you stay with the intention of i'tikaf, meaning to spend time in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, you get rewarded for the i'tikaf as well. Now, our topic for tonight is about Doomsday. It is the day of the greatest horror. As you know, no one knows when the Doomsday is going to take place except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe you've heard rumors in the past about the year 2000, when some people started talking about the doomsday taking place on the year 2000. Year 2000 came and the day of judgment did not occur, and the doomsday, or the day of destruction of the whole world, didn't happen. Then some of them claimed that they meant the year 2000 of the lunar year, not the solar year. Then a few years ago we heard about some claiming that Doomsday will take place in the year 2012. And I think they made a movie about it. They told me they made a movie about it, claiming that on that year the day of judgment will take place. No one knows when the day of judgment will occur except Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, of course, to talk about doomsday, it includes talking about the destruction of the seven skies, the earth, the mountains, the seas, everything on earth, everything in the skies. Talking about all these things, then we can talk about resurrection, and we can talk about the assembly, when people will be assembled for judgment, the weighing of the deeds on the scale, and about the stages in the hereafter before people of paradise are admitted into paradise and people of hellfire are admitted into hellfire. So it's a huge topic. However, we chose to talk about some of the incidents that will take place on that day, which is Doomsday, the destruction of this whole universe. Now, have you ever envisioned the destruction of the world? Have you ever tried to imagine how the destruction of this whole world will take place? Al-Hakim narrated from the root of Ibn Umar that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ahabba an yanzura ila yawm al-qiyamah falyaqra idha ash-shamsu kuwirat." This surah is not a long surah in the Quran. It's one page surah, but the description in it for the doomsday, the day of destruction, is so clear that will make you envision and imagine that destruction on that day. So this hadith means the one who desires to envision the day of judgment, let him read Surah At-Takwir. Al-Hakim established the hadith as sahih, with which Al-Zahabi concurred and Ahmad ibn Hanbal reported the hadith as well. So the one who wants to envision the day of judgment, can read the surah. Now, the first ayah of this surah says, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. What's the meaning of إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ? Ibn Abbas, may Allah raise his rank, said, it means when the sun loses its light and becomes dark. The scholars of tafsir of the Quran explanation said, the sun will shrivel and enfold and then will be thrown into hellfire. Now, the way you see the sun is that way. That's how you can see it. You can't look at it because it's very bright. On the day of judgment, it will become darkened. Now, maybe you've seen the eclipse of the sun. When the sun disappears, and all what you can see is a bit of light around. During the day, it becomes dark. That's from the eclipse. And that will make people scared enough when they see that eclipse. When the son of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, Ibrahim, his young child died, after that the son had an eclipse stage. And some people claim that the eclipse took place because of the death of Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected them. He said the sun doesn't have its eclipse due to the death of someone or his birth. Rather, the sun and the moon are two signs from the signs that Allah created in this universe. Now, the eclipse takes place when the light of the sun will be hidden for a period of time. And you can see what's going to happen. You know, when a few years ago, the sun had a full eclipse during the day, and some people in Europe warned against looking at the sun at that stage and what's going to happen and the like. That was at that time. You can imagine at that time the horror, the fear that people experience. So on the day of judgment, on the day of destruction of this universe, this is what's going to happen. The sun will lose its light, will enfold as well, then will be thrown into hellfire with the moon. And this is a sign of degradation to those who used to worship them. So those who used to worship the sun and the moon will be degraded when they see that the sun and the moon, whom they worship, are with them in hellfire. So that's to degrade them. They will see that what they have worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bring them any benefit. Rather, they will be with them in hellfire. So the sun will lose its light, will become dark, and will enfold, then it will be thrown into hellfire. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. It's hard to describe what's going to happen exactly, but as we mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, all the photos are for illustrational purposes, just to give you an idea. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. These stars that you feel happy looking at them, you feel delighted when you look at them, these stars will scatter and drop and lose their light. These stars are something huge, are heavenly objects in this space, and these objects will fall down and will lose their light on that day. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. when the mountains are wrenched out from earth and leveled as earth was first created without mountains or valleys. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth in the first 2 days. That was Sunday and Monday. Then Allah created the skies in the following 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday. Then Allah created the valleys, the mountains, the seas on earth on the last 2 days. So in 6 days, the creation of the skies and earth was completed. And Adam alayhi salam was created on the last day, on the 6th day, which was the day of Friday after Asr time. Now the earth didn't have mountains, didn't have valleys, didn't have seas and oceans when it was created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these mountains and valleys and seas and oceans to the earth after creating the earth. These mountains will be blown away, will turn into fine dust. Now this mountain, see how solid these mountains are? Allah said about the mountains, وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا. The mountains are like pegs. See the pegs that they set the tent with? They fix the tent and make sure it is stable. They use pegs. So see how they hammer the pegs into the ground. About 2/3 will be under the ground and 1/3 is above. The mountains are like this. So they go down into the earth. And the mountains were created to make the earth stable. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا, meaning Allah made this earth stable by these mountains. So when an earthquake happens, the angel of the mountains, who is in charge of mountains, will shake these mountains. As he shakes these mountains, the earth next to it will start moving and shaking, and that's when the earthquake happens. So an angel, by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will do something like this. When the people of Mecca gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very hard time, although he showed them miracles and he was calling them to embrace Islam, and they harmed the Prophet, they hurt the Prophet, and he was patient, and they broke his tooth, the front tooth, they broke it, and they made him bleed. His toes started bleeding, and he was patient, he was calling them to Islam. The angel in charge of mountains came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, if you wish, I'll smash them by these two mountains. He will crush them. They're living in that, you know, Mecca is like in a valley. He said, I'll crush these two mountains against them and I'll destroy them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, maybe one of their offsprings will be born who will say La ilaha illallah later. So if they don't embrace Islam, if they don't say La ilaha illallah, maybe some of their offsprings, the children or grandchildren, will say La ilaha illallah. So these mountains who are firmly rooted in the ground will be wrenched out, will be rooted out, and will turn into fine dust and will be blown away. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. You look at the mountains, they seem to you that they are stable, but if you were to come near them and touch them, you don't see mountains, you see fine dust, and they are moving as clouds move. So these mountains, majestic mountains, will turn into fine dust and will be blown away. That's on doomsday. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. عِشَار, plural of عُشَرَاء. عُشَرَاء, that's the she-camel, 10 months pregnant. Now, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this type of camel specifically? Because they are very, very precious to the Arabs. So if one has a عُشَرَاء she-camel, that was very expensive. And they used to give her full attention, look after it, because it's very precious to them. But such a camel that is very precious to her owners, they will have to leave her unattended, without a shepherd and without one milking her, because they are overwhelmed by other matters. The similitude alludes to the day of judgment, when no one pays any heed to what he used to have, due to the people being occupied by the dire events of the day of judgment. So the camel, they benefit from its milk, they're very useful, they look after them, but on that day, because they are overwhelmed by the dire events on that day, they will not give them any attention. There is an ayah in the Quran that describes more about this as well, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. O people, fear Allah Azza wa Jal, for the quaking of the earth on that day is something so horrifying. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. The breastfeeding mother will leave her child, will not give him any attention on that day. She is overwhelmed by these events on that day. وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. They will drop their babies, will have miscarriage on that day when they see these events. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. You look at people as if they are drunk, but they are not, because they are stunned by the events that will take place on that day. So this is something of what's going to happen on that day. But the day of judgment will not occur on the believers. So that destruction will be witnessed by the non-believers, not the Muslims. Before angel Israfil alayhi salam blows in the horn, marking the beginning of doomsday, by 100 years, a very soft wind will come, Allah will send it. It passes by every believer. It goes under his arm and takes his soul out. So all the believers on earth will die at that time, all the believers. Only the non-believers will remain alive, killing each other, robbing, committing the major sins on earth, until angel Israfil alayhi salam blows the sounding of the horn. So when he sounds the horn, that's the first one, that's for the doomsday. So everyone at that time will die, including Iblis himself. Iblis will die at that time. He won't be saved. He is alive. He will remain alive until that moment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banished him out of paradise, he requested to remain alive until the day of resurrection, not the doomsday, the day of resurrection, because he doesn't want to experience death. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him his request. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that Iblis, Satan, will remain alive until doomsday. So he will suffer death. He will suffer the pangs of death we spoke about last week. He won't miss out these pains. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ When the beasts are gathered after resurrection. Now this is to remind us of something, that if the beasts will be resurrected, all the sheep, all the cows, all horses, all camels, all lions, all tigers, everything that has a soul will be resurrected on the day for judgment. They will be resurrected for what purpose? To show people the ultimate justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is the day of judgment, the people on that day will witness, will see that if, for instance, a goat in this life that had horns bumped another one that didn't have horns, on the day of judgment Allah resurrects both. The one that didn't have horns, Allah will create horns for it. It will bump the other one back, they will be even. So once that happens, both of them, the one that bumped and the bumped one, will turn into soil. So they won't get into paradise and they won't go into hellfire. They turn into soil. So when the non-believers saw this manifestation of the ultimate justice of Allah Azza wa Jal, even between animals who are not accountable, but if such a thing happen in this world on the day of judgment, there will be even, the non-believers know that there is no way for them to escape on that day. That's when they wish that they would have been like the animals and they would have turned into soil and they won't be admitted into hellfire. That's when they wish. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا That's when the non-believer wishes that he had turned into soil, meaning he was an animal that had turned into soil, and he won't be admitted into hellfire. We ask Allah to protect us from it. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ Imam al-Bukhari commented in his Sahih that al-Hasan, the son of Ali, said the ayah means the water of the oceans will dry out without any drop left. Ali ibn Abi Talib and Ibn Abbas said sujjirat means will be lit in a blaze, as reported by Al-Qurtubi. So these majestic oceans, you see them, the seas, you know how deep, they can't reach the bottom of the oceans. These oceans and seas will dry out after they have been lit in a blaze, meaning from the bottom, they will be burnt. They will be burnt. You know, they discovered that at the bottom of the sea, you can see boiling water. Now, the way they analyze it, they talk about volcanoes being underneath the seas, the oceans, and that's why you find boiling water. Subhanallah, even before they made that discovery, 1400 years ago, Allah revealed to His Prophet this ayah, وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ meaning the sea that is boiled from its bottom. Why? Because of that fire will be on the day for judgment until they dry out. This is what's going to happen. Now maybe you've seen something like this before. That's when they have oil spill in the ocean and you can see the fire on the water. You can see that fire on the water. So the seas and the oceans will be lit at a blaze and will dry out, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. Imam al-Bukhari narrated in his commentaries that Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say about the meaning of this ayah, the man among the people of paradise will join his equal, and the man among the people of hellfire will join his equal. Then he recited the saying of Allah, احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم. وأزواجهم doesn't mean their wives here in this ayah, no. احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم, it means assemble those who committed wrongdoings along with their associates, not with their wives. See, like, that's why the knowledge is taken in this way, not by reading. If someone is reading this ayah, maybe he thinks if someone is doing a bad deed, he will be in hellfire with his wife. Maybe his wife is a righteous woman, like the wife of the Pharaoh of Egypt. The Pharaoh of Egypt was a tyrant. He said to people, I'm your Lord. He said to people, worship me. That's what he said. So he called people to worship him. But his wife was very righteous woman, Asiya bint Muzahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an example by Asiya of the role model woman. Allah ta'ala ضرب مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون. So she was given as an example of the righteous woman when she requested and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her a palace in paradise. When her husband, the Pharaoh of Egypt, found out that she was Muslim, he tortured her. He crucified her in the desert and kept her exposed to the sun by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. While she was in that situation, she was able to look up and to penetrate by her vision all the skies until she reached paradise and she saw her palace in paradise. So she was a good example of the righteous woman. So احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم, assemble those who committed wrongdoings along with the associates. That's why you need to think about this gathering you are making every week, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. You gather for the obedience of Allah azza wa jal. So it's like you're gathering around the Kaaba. But there are people who gather on enormous sins. They drink alcohol, they gamble, and they commit other sins as well. This is what they hang around for. So that's why if you have some friends who want you to hang around with them, but in disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, leave them. Call them to come to the mosque and learn. That will benefit them. So instead of them dragging you to the wrong path, you should drag them to the right path. Because on the day for judgment, this is what's going to happen. Those who are similar to each other will be assembled with each other. So the sinners will be with the sinners, and the pious will be with the pious. And they are not equal. Those who are sinners together are not like those who are pious and gathering on learning, on praying, and the like. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. This ayah refers to the abhorrent practice of some during the era of ignorance of burying the female infants born to them while they were still alive. The significance of her being asked is to severely reprimand the doer of such an abhorrent deed. And her reply would be, I was murdered for no reason. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For no reason. She was killed just because she was born as a female baby. Some, not all of them, some Arabs during the era of ignorance used to bury them alive. And there was a reason for this. They used to have a reason. Because something happened, I'm not going to talk about this in detail, just to give you in brief. A tribe raided another tribe. And they took the daughter of one of the prominent figures in that tribe as a captive. She stayed with that tribe for a while. Then she loved a person from that tribe. Then after that, they made a type of treaty between them to solve that struggle and war between the two tribes. And they made settlement between them. Then they asked that girl whether she wants to go back to her father or she wants to stay with the one whom she loved. Now that girl chose the one that she loved. And that was for them, for the father, a big shock. And even people degraded him for such, I think they classified this as a disgrace. How would she prefer that one on her father? So then that person swore to Allah Azza wa Jal that whenever he has a baby girl born for him, he will bury her alive. He buried eight himself, and other Arabs followed him. But not all the Arabs. Some Arabs were noble Arabs and known. They won't do such acts. One of them, called Sa'sa'a, used to buy them from their fathers to save them. He used to buy them from their parents so they would be saved. So not all the Arabs did this, but some Arabs used to commit this. So this ayah reprimands those who do such an abhorrent act. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ, meaning on that day, this girl buried alive will be questioned, and that question for her is to reprimand those who killed her. So why you were killed? And the answer is, I was killed for no reason. So this is to reprimand them. وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ, the book in which the angels record the good deeds and the bad deeds of those concerned will be folded by death and then laid open again on the day of judgment. Then every person will stand at his book and learn what is written in it and would say, as Allah told us in Surah Al-Kahf, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا, which means this book wondrously does not miss any thing, whether it is enormous or a minor sin. They're all recorded. So a major, enormous matter or a small matter, they're all written in that book. So the person on that day will have his book. When he dies, that book will be folded. That's it. That's the end of it. On the day of judgment, the review. He will see what he has done. So that book will be laid open before him and he will see from the beginning of his life, as you can see. Now, if he committed sins and he repented from them, he won't see them. They will be wiped out. That's why it is highly encouraged, and it is an obligation as well, that if a person commits a sin, let him repent for today from it, because he doesn't know if he's going to remain alive till the following day. If he repents a good repentance, let him have a strong intention in his heart that he won't do it again, that he wants to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal from that sin sincerely, and it will be wiped out, instead of having his book on the day of judgment and seeing in it all these abhorrent acts. Who would be happy on the day of judgment to see in his book written such and such and such from the sins that he committed and he didn't repent from? No one will be happy to see all these things written in his book. وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. When the sky will be wrenched out, as in wrenching out the roof of a house. See how you peel it off, or you wrench it out, the roof of a house. These skies that are very, very solid will be wrenched out, as in wrenching out the roof of a house. How many ayahs in the Quran ordered people to ponder about the majesty of the skies above us? أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَوْقَهُمْ أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. There are many verses that order people to look at the sky, to see the majesty of these skies, to reflect upon the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine this place, this mosque, has a roof, ceiling, but no pillars. Imagine you see a big rock above the ground and there is nothing underneath it. Usually a person would feel frightened, scared to walk under it. We are under this sky that is carried by the power of Allah without pillars. رَفَعَ السَّمَاءَ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. No pillars. So the sky is above us. It's very solid. Its thickness is 500 years. It's not like some people say it's that space. This space where the star, the moon, the planets, all these things, the sun, all these objects are underneath the first sky in the space that is underneath. Between the earth and the sky, there is 500 years distance as well. 500 years distance. But because the sky is very big, you can see it, although it's that far from us. When it's a clear day, you can see that blue color. This is the sky. That's although it's far away from us, 500 years away from us, but we can still see it. What's going to happen to the sky? These skies, seven skies, will crack. Will have cracks here and there and there. It will be cracked. It will be wrenched out. Then they will be folded on top of each other, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ. As these books will be folded on top of each other. So these seven skies, although there is a distance between every two skies, they will be folded on top of each other. Allah mentioned that these skies are carried by the power of Allah. So if they believe that Allah is in the sky, in that place, carried by His power, this doesn't make sense. Plus these skies will fall, will collapse on the day of judgment, will crack, will become weak, will be folded, and will fall as well. So how would one believe that Allah will be folded, wal-ayyazu billah, while He is in the sky? This is not the belief of Muslims. The belief of Muslims is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the skies. Allah doesn't need them. Allah created them for the angels. But on the day of judgment, these skies will be destroyed and the angels in the skies will die. They will die as well. They will not remain alive. Although these skies are crowded with the angels living in them. In the hadith narrated by At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that at every four finger distance in the sky, you see an angel praying. Four finger distance. So can you imagine how crowded the skies are with the angels in them? So how would it be possible to say that Allah is in the sky and He will be crowded by the angels because there is no empty space except for about four finger distance? Do they say that Allah is, wal-ayyazu billah, is like has a body and His body is less than four finger distance? And they say this is the creator of this whole universe? This doesn't make sense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the skies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need the skies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists without a place. وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ. At such time when the blazing fire of hell is fervently fueled. You know, in the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that hellfire was blazing, fueling up for 1,000 years until it turned what? Red. Maybe we have seen the red color in this life, red color of fire. Fire that is red. Then for another 1,000 years until it turned white. Maybe white, we haven't seen it exactly, but maybe in some factories with the oxy welding they use, you might see something close to white. And you know how intense that fire is? Just if accidentally you passes this on your hand, you see the skin melting. So it's a very, very strong fire. It's more than the bush fire. The bush fire usually is red. That's to a certain degree. If it becomes more intense and higher in temperature, that one it turned into white. But for another 1,000 years until it turned black, and we haven't seen a black fire. There's no black fire on earth. It was said that in one of the universities, a professor was talking about a discovery she made. Then she said that I made a discovery that no one before has discovered such a thing. She said, at 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit, the fire will be red. At 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit, it will turn into white. At 1 million degrees Fahrenheit and more, it will turn into black. There was a Muslim attending that lecture, and he stood up and he said, this is an old thing, that's not new. It's not a new discovery that you have made. We know this 1400 years ago. She said, how is that? And he mentioned the hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the hellfire was fueling up for 1,000 years until it turned red, then for another 1,000 years until it turned white, then for another 1,000 years until it turned black. The question is, have you imagined black fire? When they are getting tortured in a black fire, just I want you to do this experiment. That will help you when you go home. You want to go to sleep, close your eyes, imagine that black hellfire. Try to imagine black fire and imagine as well that the non-believers will remain in hellfire forever. They will remain in hellfire forever. They will never be sent out of hellfire. Just imagine this. That will make you afraid and worried that you don't want to go to hellfire, you want to be saved, you want to be in paradise. That will take us to the following ayah, وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ. Now there is no picture on earth where you can try to describe with something similar to paradise. No way we can find something. But imagine you are in a nice place, the climate is very nice as well, and you're having fun, peaceful place, feeling with tranquility, comfort, you'll be relaxed. But paradise is the abode of pleasure, extreme pleasure. See, the angels in paradise, in charge of paradise, even with Ridwan, that's the head of them, in charge of paradise, they don't know about the details of the enjoyments that Allah prepared for the believers in paradise. They don't know about every type of enjoyment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers on the day of judgment. So something beyond your imagination. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that Allah Ta'ala said, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Allah has prepared for the righteous Muslims what an eye has never seen, what an ear has never heard of, and what a heart has never imagined. No one would have imagined those types of enjoyments in paradise. Inshallah, we'll have a lecture about paradise specifically. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. See all the previous verses describing what's going to happen to the skies, what's going to happen to the mountains, what's going to happen to the seas and oceans, what's going to happen to the skies, what's going to happen to hellfire. So hellfire is getting, you know, fueled up day after day, getting ready. So it's getting ready to take the non-believers and some Muslim sinners. And paradise will be brought nearer on the day for judgment, so when people want to go to paradise. So all these verses were mentioned first. To reach this verse, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ, meaning on that day, every soul shall know the good deed it brought in its book that would admit it to paradise, or the bad deeds that would make it deserving of hellfire. May Allah protect us. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.